Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I think, at least in Charlotte last week, reached a, I don't even know what to call it. Is that a shocking new low? I mean, I really don't know what to call it. So today, the title of the show today is Fiery But Mostly Peaceful Protests Going On Around the Country. And I'll explain that to you. I don't know why the radio came back up there. Fiery But Mostly Peaceful Protests. We're going to get to that in a second. And if you want to join us on Facebook Live, just go to my Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show on Facebook, because I'm going to show a video of where that title came from, Fiery But Mostly Peaceful. It's just a shocking example of this disconnect, mostly on the left, because I think the liberals and the Democrats in charge have thought and hoped, and perhaps even in some sick way, have prayed over this violence, escalating violence around the country, that would help them. So just over the weekend, there was a tweet from Joe Biden just over the weekend where he was like, all of a sudden, you know, this has got to stop. Because I think they're realizing that the polling numbers are showing them that being quiet on it and not being tough on it is hurting them. Whereas Donald Trump, being now what's largely is the law and order candidate, is benefiting from his disgust of what's going on in our nation. But there is a large disconnect. And so I've been posting things. I have made it a practice in the past to not post videos with a lot of vulgarity and stuff, okay? But over the last couple of weeks, I've been pulling stuff off of Twitter and Instagram where it's raw. This is raw footage from these protests, quote-unquote protests, all over the country. It's really at this level a satanic insurrection. But these protests from all over the country, and I am not editing anything out of these. And it's brutal, and there's vulgarity flying and some violence, because I noticed in something that happened over the weekend that I posted, not everywhere. I posted it first on my personal Facebook page. It was a video about 15 seconds long. I posted it on the radio page. I left it there. I posted it on my Instagram and left it there. And when I posted it, I had a very godly friend of mine who's like, hey, Steve, enough of this, all the vulgarity and stuff. We get it, right? We get it. And I know he does. But I don't know that every thoughtful, caring, patriotic Christian in America really has a thorough grasp of just how dark and depraved and satanic and violent this has become and is growing and it's increasing. And if Donald Trump doesn't win in a landslide, I think that it will continue to increase. I think he's going to win, but if it's tight, we're just going to, this, you think the Russia stuff, all that stuff's over? It isn't. It's going to continue. There's a lot more going on here than just politics. There is a spiritual reality that is at play. So as I walk through all these stories with you today, I am going to do my part, because I feel I have a responsibility to show you just how dark and depraved and satanic this is, to show things. And I can't do all that here on the radio show for obvious restrictions in terms of being on the air and even on Facebook Live. But I will show videos when I can. And I can't do that on the radio show because of FCC restrictions. But I'll show videos, and it's a real mixed bag. So get this. And I'm just trying to work through this. I was absolutely shocked and dismayed by what I saw and heard. Okay? Because here's what happened. On Saturday, I think it was Saturday, maybe it was Sunday, I saw a video out of a protest in Charlotte, North Carolina this week, literally within a couple of miles of the Billy Graham Museum, where Billy Graham and his wife, Ruth, are buried, okay? literally just a couple miles away, downtown Charlotte. And there's a guy down there that I guess people in Charlotte, if you're from Charlotte, you're aware of this. There's a guy down there named Sam. Sam is a believer. He's an African-American. And he was down there when this protest was going on at night. And he's walking around with a sign that says Jesus saves. And he's proclaiming that truth out over the crowd. So he eventually gets pelted with eggs and stuff and silly string. And they made a mess of him. Maybe you've seen that picture. I've shared it on Facebook. But it's what happened after that. You think that's bad? It's what happened after that. That just racked me. And I didn't know what to do with what I was seeing and mostly what I was hearing. Because they began a chant after that. And I'm not even... Okay, they began a chant after that. F-U, Y-O-U, Jesus. Okay, I'm not going to keep saying that, but they said exactly what I just said to you. So the person leading the protest is saying that first. Blank, blank, Jesus. And then the crowd goes, BLM, Antifa, black, white, mostly young, probably in their 20s. And blank, blank, Jesus. And the crowd, the leader, blank, blank, Jesus. And then the crowd, blank, blank, Jesus, over and over and over again. And when I first saw that video, now it's not on my personal page, but I left it on my Facebook page, my radio show page, the Steve Noble Show page. And if you want to subject yourself to it, and actually I think you should. I know it's like blasphemous touching this thing and putting it out there. But we need to be awakened. And here's another point. I was disgusted and shocked first. Then my second reaction was, these people are going to burn in hell. And I didn't say that with a broken heart. I said that out of, I hope, righteous indignation. But there was plenty of hatred and vitriol there when I was thinking that. It wasn't till this morning when I was doing another post on it on my personal Facebook page where I didn't share the video. It wasn't till this morning where I was like, you know what? Oh, yeah. I forgot to pray for these people. So that was what? 24 hours or something? Where I encountered it. I saw it. I was shocked and I was outraged. And then I was like, damn these people. That's where I was at. And it wasn't for 24 hours till I'm like, what am I doing, Lord? I need to pray for these people. Could you imagine that? Because most of these people, they're Americans. They grow up here around church. Some of them probably been to church. Maybe some of them were in church last Sunday. And they're social justice warriors or whatever. And the next thing you know, they're out there chanting that. Blank you, Jesus. Literally, that's what they're saying. And the season for apathy or, well, I'm not going to get involved in politics or this stuff's going to blow over. No, it isn't. It's increasing. And we need to be more diligent and intense in our prayer and more consistent in our prayer, starting with me. So some more updates of reality when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So let's put our money where our mouth is right quick, okay? And let's pray for all those people that were down in Charlotte that were chanting blank you, Jesus, just last week. Down in Charlotte, and Sam, this evangelist, looks like this wonderful African-American guy that a lot of people have known about down there, had a Jesus Save signs, and he's proclaiming that truth out over the crowd, and the crowd responds by abusing him, and then they do this chant over and over again. And it took me 24 hours before I stopped and prayed for these people. And we need to be more fervent and more regular in our prayer for this nation and for the peace that's possible and for our leaders and for this existential threat that's on the ballot November 3rd. This is getting much bigger all the time. And I fear that a lot of us just are not, it's going to be okay. Maybe it's not you because you're listening to the show, you listen to other shows, you're engaged, you're paying attention. But I think the vast majority of people that call themselves Christians are still like, oh gosh, that's really a little hand-wringing, right? And then they go back to business. Paint the house, sell the house, buy the house, go on vacation. When can we go to Disney? All that kind of stuff. As Rome burns, and like CNN likes to say, fiery but mostly peaceful. So I'm going to show you this. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to show you this clip. So you'll hear it on radio, but if you're watching on Facebook Live, you'll actually see this. I'll describe it to you so you know what's going on, and then you can get this if on radio. You can get this. You can get this totally bizarre, disjunctive picture in your head. But let's pray for these people that were willing to say what they said the other night. Father God, we just come to you grieving and broken and shocked. Talk about shock and awe, Lord. Just shocked that people that you created in your image and that you died for would turn around and get to such a point in their lives where they would say what they said, that vulgarity, the hatred of you and your truth and anything having to do anything with you. We pray for Sam, who was there to proclaim the truth, and it looks like Lord has been like that for years. We thank you for him. Please protect him and continue to use him. But we pray specifically for these souls who are so darkened, who are so lost, who are so hard-hearted, who are so in the enemy's camp, that they would be willing to let those words enthusiastically project them out of their mouths. So we pray, Lord, that for somehow, some way, they would come under deep and terrible conviction, disrupt their dreams, give them night sweats, whatever it is, Lord, that they would come to their senses and realize that just like the Romans of old, they're literally crucifying you and hating you and spitting on you, and you died for them. So, Lord, we pray whatever it takes, you would wake up every single protester that was there that night that uttered those words, and the Holy Spirit would deeply convict them. And then in the face of your love that you say in your word that it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance, that they will see your kindness in the face of their vitriolic, disgusting hatred of you, and that they would be brought to their knees in repentance and then faith and then salvation. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's put a little faith to our feet and our mouths, right? And prayer. Okay, so here's the scene. Kenosha the other night, literally the background's on fire. So it's a CNN reporter. Kenosha's on fire behind him. And then, well, let's just play this clip, right? Go ahead, pull up the video. So for those of you on Facebook Live, you can see this, but you'll hear what he's talking about. And then I'll come back and complete the picture for you on radio and then complete the kind of joke that this was. All right, let's fire that up.
Christine and Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations that have been burning in Kenosha, Wisconsin over the course of the night. A second night since Jacob Blake was seen shot in the back 7 times by a police officer. And what you are seeing...
Okay, you hear that? Okay, there's an explosion or something in the background. There's a massive fire behind this guy. He's sitting there with protective gear on and stuff. And new overnight CNN live reporting from up there. And here's what the banner is on the bottom of the screen, right? The lower third. Here's what the banner says: fiery but mostly peaceful protests after police shooting. Yeah, that's what it says. I'm looking at it. Fiery but mostly peaceful protests, and the place is on fire behind him. And you hear sirens and you hear an explosion. Fiery but mostly peaceful? What's peaceful about that? Other than the fact that that guy was alive at the time. And still is, I presume. But that, what is that? That's somebody that knows they're being forced into the position, like Biden today, who gave a speech. I just saw this break. Biden condemns rioting, blasts Trump's response in fiery post-convention speech. Why is he doing that? Because he has to. Why does he have to? Because the polls are showing them to say nothing and to sit on the sidelines while Rome burns and then just point your finger at Trump ain't cutting it. So he has to come out now all of a sudden and decry the violence and the protesting. I wonder if CNN will change anything about fiery but mostly peaceful. This is not peaceful. It hasn't been in a while. And by the way, this isn't about Black Lives Matter anymore either. So let me just give you some updates on some other stuff, okay? Did you hear about this? One dead in Portland after pro-Trump caravan clashes with protesters. Now they executed this guy, okay? Here's where we're at. People in Charlotte willing to say blank you, Jesus. And now we jump over to Portland, a pro-Trump caravan. Another night of riots in Portland turned deadly. I'll get to the letter from the mayor there who should be in jail. When a President Trump supporter wearing attire with the emblem of Patriot Prayer, a conservative group, was fatally shot on Saturday. That's an understatement. He was executed. When you watch video of this, and I've watched some video of it, they're like, yeah, that guy. And then he goes, this guy, yeah. And then boom, he fires. Sounds like twice. Right in the chest, the guy died there on the spot. After the police and stuff gave. The shooting was documented on multiple video live streams that show a small group of people yelling, then scattering. And this is going to get worse because I want you to understand just how bad this is getting. The Portland Police Bureau reports that the man died of a gunshot wound to the chest. This violence is completely unacceptable, and we are working diligently to find and apprehend the individual or individuals responsible, said Portland Police Chief Chuck Lovell. Yeah, this is after almost 90 days, guys. 90 days you've allowed this. And because you're not willing to do what it takes, which is an overwhelming force, you're going to keep getting more of this. And it's happening more around the country. This violence is completely unacceptable. Really? Antifa and Black Lives Matter protesters, listen to this, rallied and cheered at the announcement of the victim's death, claiming that he was a blanking Nazi and that our community held its own. I'm not sad that that blanking fascist died tonight, some said. That's real. That's happening. The man being investigated by police in the fatal shooting of a Trump supporter in Portland identifies as Antifa and as an ardent Black Lives Matter supporter. Michael Forrest Raynal was previously arrested in an Antifa riot in July and charged with illegally possessing a loaded firearm and other crimes. Oh, that's no big deal. So what'd they do with him? He was let go, and the charges were never pursued. Where's that happening? Portland. Who's in charge of Portland? That would be Mayor Ted Wheeler. So Trump comes out, as he should. The president also condemned Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, with whom he has an ongoing conflict over the mayor's objections to federal involvement in stopping riots in the city, despite months of unrest and a fatal shooting over the weekend. Quote, Portland is a mess, and it's been for many years. If this joke of a mayor doesn't clean it up, we will go in and do it for them, Trump said. Now, I actually think they shouldn't, but we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. So then Wheeler had sent Trump a letter. I've got a copy of the letter in front of me. Dear President Trump, listen to this guy. God help us. Yet again, you said you offered to aid Portland by sending in federal law enforcement to our city. On behalf of the city of Portland, no thanks. We don't need your police of your politics of division and demagoguery. Portlanders are on to you. We've already seen your reckless disregard for human life and your bumbling response to the COVID pandemic. And we know you've reached the conclusion that images of violence or vandalism are your only ticket to re-election. There's no place for looting, arson, or vandalism in our city. Almost 90 days in a row, he said that. There's no room here for racist violence or those who wish to bring their ideology of hate into our community. Is this guy on drugs or what? What is this? Dark and satanic. We'll pick it up there when we come back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough,
okay, more breaking news as Rome burns. I mean, sometimes all I've got is I'm going to be snarky and have a bad sense of humor sometimes because it's just shocking. But I'm sharing all these shocking stories today because we need to be more fervent in our understanding of the reality of what's happening, about the consequences of this vote coming up on November 3rd, because all this stuff's on the ballot. That's where I'm going to give Joe Biden's speech some credence. He said, this is on the ballot. That's on the ballot. Hey, Western civilization is on the ballot. An existential threat to the American way of life is on the ballot. Chaos and mayhem and Marxism and communism and socialism, all on the ballot. Unlimited killing of preborn children, all on the ballot. Who cares about the elderly people in our elderly population and rest homes via COVID-19? Good job, Andy Cuomo. That's on the ballot. Western civilization generally is on the ballot on November 3rd. And so the polling, I was going to play this from Andy Node, NGO, Andy Node on Twitter, has been following Antifa for several years. They beat the tar out of him a couple times, but he's courageous and he's out there. He wears black blocks, so he blocks him, wears all the black stuff, right, and the mask over his face and all that kind of stuff, so they can't recognize him. But he was interviewed. I'm not going to play this clip. He was interviewed the other day on a British show. And the British guy, and I heard this earlier today on some other media sources, that in Wisconsin, support for Black Lives Matter was at plus 25 in June, and now it's at zero. And those numbers came out right before Kenosha, okay? So it's only worse. So what you have is this quote-unquote silent majority who is stewing and growing. There are people that believe in law and order. I still hope and believe that that's most Americans. And that group is stewing in this mayhem that we see happening around the country. They're stewing, and they don't go out and protest, and they don't go out and burn things down, and they don't go out and vandalize. They don't go out and beat people up. You know what they do? They wait. I wish all of them prayed, but right now they're just waiting. And what are they waiting for? They're waiting for November 3rd, because that's how they're going to hit back. We'll see. It is 2020 after all, so everything's on the table. So yeah, this crazy letter from Ted Wheeler, the mayor, just lecturing Donald Trump about why you come in here, you're going to make it worse. Worse than what? It's crazy. And then Trump saying he's going to go to Kenosha tomorrow. President Trump on Monday doubled down on his plan to go to Kenosha, Wisconsin Tuesday, despite Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers asking him to stay away. This is all political. They're all political in the middle of our country burning down. Which sounds like hyperbole, but I think we're moving in that direction. Evers, a Democrat, made the request of Trump on Sunday, saying the president will only delay our work to overcome division by appearing in Kenosha. Trump's campaign has highlighted rioting in several large cities in recent months as a reason to vote for him to restore law and order. If I didn't insist on having the National Guard activate and go to Kenosha, Wisconsin, there would be no Kenosha right now, Trump tweeted Monday. Also, there would have been great death and injury. I want to thank law enforcement and the National Guard. I will see you on Tuesday. So he's still planning to go. We'll see what happens. But let's go to some other parts of the country so you know just how bad this is. And are you registered to vote? And if you're not, get yourself registered. And don't think primarily about yourself. Think about your children and their children and their children. Charlie Kirk said this Monday night a week ago, Turning Point USA, all the college students, pro-Trump people. He said that Donald Trump, and at first I'm like, that sounds like hyperbole. He said Donald Trump's the bodyguard of Western civilization. And I'm actually agreeing with that, not because I think Trump is, you know, King David reincarnated, but because I think that's just the reality of the situation. He doesn't have to be as pure as the wind-driven snow to be the bodyguard of Western civilization based on where we're at in this country. So if you're not registered, registered. If you're registered but you don't usually vote, you have to vote. And you guys, we all need to be asking friends and other people on social media, wherever you can get attention, are you registered? Are you voting? And then if you want to have some fun, ask them who they're voting for. All right, Oakland. Hundreds came out in a planned protest in Oakland Wednesday. Did you hear about this? Of course not. To show solidarity with the pro sports boycott for Jacob Blake. Most of the protesters marched peacefully. Listen. But a group of agitators smashed windows, torched trash cans, and ignited small fireworks, according to the police. Around 11 p.m., protesters briefly stopped traffic on I-580 and walked down the Grand Avenue off-ramp. I'm angry, one protester said. I ain't here to talk about workers, a man told the crowd. I'm here to talk about black people getting killed in the blanking street, which is hyperbole. Earlier, police urged calm. The city of Oakland released a statement, blah, blah, blah. Here's not what's reported and all over the place in some video that I saw. Guess what they were chanting? In Charlotte, they were chanting, blank you, Jesus. In Oakland, they were chanting, death to America. Now, where have you heard that before? Death to America. Death to America. Where have you heard that? That's right, Iran. Iran. Now, am I saying Antifa and Black Lives Matter are Muslim extremists or in bed with Muslim extremists? They're not Muslim extremists. Are they in bed with them? Maybe not yet, but that seems like a pretty cozy relationship. Why? Because they all want the same thing, the destruction of America. But you're not hearing that on the mainstream media, that they're chanting death to America. Same thing as Iran likes to do. Death to America. Here's another one. Coming to a neighborhood near you. Maybe your neighborhood. D.C. protesters march, shine lights into homes, chant, are you home? Get into the street. Protests continued in Washington, D.C. late Sunday with videos emerging online showing a group of protesters marching in the street. I've watched the videos. Shining lights into homes and chanting, are you home? Get into the street. Like, what would you do? Because they did this in D.C. and New York, a bunch of Black Lives Matter, quote unquote. Protesters are coming by. You're outside at a restaurant, socially distanced. You don't have your mask on. Praise the Lord, eating your meal. And then they're all over you saying, you need to put your hand up, put your fist up and say Black Lives Matter because white silence is white violence. What do you do? They're not even giving you a choice. And would you fear for your life at that point? I think you probably would. The Washington Post reported that the area around Black Lives Matter Plaza, hey, let's make that a bigger target, designate an area, which the mayor of Washington, D.C. did, call it Black Lives Matter Plaza, rename the street Black Lives Matter. That's where they painted Black Lives Matter on the street, and they're throwing more gas on the fire. That's in D.C. This is happening more and more around the country. And do you hear it? Are you seeing it enough? Are you praying about it? Are you fearful? I'm not talking about sinful fearfulness. We haven't been given the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I have the love of the Lord in me. I have the power of the Holy Spirit, and I definitely have a sound mind. So I know that this is a temporary glitch in the system full of sin. One day it won't be like this. Heaven will come to earth, and all this stuff will be a small thing on the radar screen. We'll learn from it. God will be glorified by it. but it will be gone. Okay, one day, justice will prevail, peace will flow like a river. Okay, but in the meantime, that's not the deal. And our country is in very, very bad shape. And I've gotten some emails recently when I've talked about some of these stories saying, hey, like one guy's talking about sent me an email, said, hey, by the way, if the federal government shows up at my house and says I have to get vaccinated for COVID, which I don't think is going to happen, at least not yet, then I'm going to unleash until I'm out of lead. I'm like, what? Why would you send me that email? It's not like I'm on here talking about stuff like that, because I'm not. But why send me that? And then I've gotten a couple of emails that were violent, overtly saying, if this happens, here's what I'm going to do. If they come here, here's what I'm going to do. And it always involves gunfire. And there's a whole lot more people that want to preserve our Western civilization way of life in America that are armed than the people out there in the streets protesting and rioting. And so is it going to come to that? Is this Civil War thing hyperbole? I don't think so anymore. And we need to, you need to, and I need to. We need to be deep in prayer over all this stuff, especially between now and November 3rd, and praying for the peace of Jerusalem. In this case, praying for the peace of our own nation, because this is bad and getting worse. If you just joined the show, I started the show talking about a protest and a big group of people last week in Charlotte. I'm just reminding you, because you need to hear this, that they're out there. There's a guy named Sam. He's an evangelist, believer, happens to be African-American. People in Charlotte, I guess, know him. Somebody else sent me a video of his kind of his testimony. He's out on the street, a street preacher, and he's out there with his Jesus Save signs, and he's saying that over the crowd, and they pelt him with eggs and silly string and stuff and abuse him, and then they start chanting, blank you, Jesus. And the first word starts with not E, but the one after that, okay? And they're saying it robustly. And it's not like, oh, did we just say that? They kept saying it. And then in the other city, I just read that, they're chanting death to America. That was in Oakland. And then you got the NBA. How about those NBA games this weekend? Oh, you don't watch those? Neither do I. And this was a fascinating story. I don't have time to go through it. And then we're going to do a Money Monday update in the fourth segment and walk away from this stuff. But a fascinating study, an article, the trap the Democrats walked right into. It finally happened. We have lethal battles in the streets between the two tribes of our polarized politics. This week, a 17-year-old man, Kyle Rittenhouse, brought a rifle to Kenosha, Wisconsin. He lived about 20 minutes away, by the way. In order, it appears, to protect the businesses that were being burned down or ransacked by rioters after the police shooting of alleged rapist Jacob Blake and a series of skirmishes between Rittenhouse and BLM and Antifa activists on the streets of Kenosha. Three men pursuing Rittenhouse were shot and two killed. No excuse for vigilantism, this guy writes, Andrew Sullivan. No excuse for looting, rioting, and arson. The truth is, even a few minutes of chaos and violence can contain a university of confusing events, motives, and dynamics that are extremely hard to parse immediately. In the current chaos, I've come to appreciate Marcus Aurelius's maxim, listen to this, that, quote, the object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. Wow. That's where we're at. Insanity, out of touch with reality. What's reality? That which is truth. That's what Jesus says. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. Turning the corner, walking away from that wake-up call I've been giving you for the last 40 minutes. As we continue to see our nation descend into chaos and just satanic evil, brokenness, unbelievable darkness out there. And it's not going away anytime soon with the election coming up. And on top of that, we have to deal with financial issues and the markets and what's going on in the world. And you've got the realities of our balance sheet, which are horrific, versus the stock market, which is acting like totally disassociated from reality. So it's just a bizarre world that we live in, which is why, because Jesus in the scriptures talks so much about money and possessions. That's why we do it as a regular part of the show here on the Steve Noble Show with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always, LandmarkGold.com. And David, God's just given you the right scriptures to kind of pull me back from the ledge every time, every Monday now. So I appreciate you calling in. How are you?
Iron sharpens iron, my brother. You've been there way more for me than I've been for you.
Yeah, well, that's why none of us should try to go through this stuff alone. But this is a great passage, especially in the book of Genesis, which is just packed with so much wisdom and just a remarkable book. But this particular spot, talking about Joseph and seeing so much evil and having evil things done to him, yet this type of perspective is so important for us today. So let's start there, David, and then we'll get into some Money Monday update stuff.
Yeah, so as a backdrop, Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, and this is the flip side of that, and he says this, "But Joseph said to them, quote, 'Do not be afraid, for I am in God's place.'" What a stance. Mm. "'As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive.'" You know, sometimes if we just could see the environment through God's glasses, everything would look totally different for us. Because we look at it through our human nature and obviously not our spiritual eyes. But God's, you know, what we think is just amazingly a wrongdoing. And, you know, so Joseph shows us a great model here. In the midst of he was sold into slavery, he says, "I'm in God's place." Mm-hmm. So God has a plan, and so much bigger than we all know. And even though there's things that might be happening evil in the land or in your life, the land can be your life, your family, your marriage, your kids, your state, the United States, the government, you fill in the blank. It can be everywhere. We also can say, you know, God is on the throne, he's in control, and I'm going to yield, and I'm going to be at peace. Doesn't mean I'm do nothing, but I'm going to rest in his arms.
Yeah, such a powerful message, such a great reminder, and we need to remember that. That's why we have, you know, as dark as these days are, David, you know this, and I hope everybody else understands this. What an incredible opportunity it is for us to be brokenhearted and concerned, as we should. But at the same time, there's this strange ability to kind of detach from that present darkness because our house is built on the rock. It's not built on the sand, and we know, just like we see here in Genesis 50, that hey, you meant it evil, but God meant it for good. And so he's going to use this. He's getting more glory from all of this. We're all going to grow in our faith. More people will be added to the kingdom. And then we see through the glass dimly right now, but one day face to face, he'll reveal all this stuff to us. And we're just going to glorify him all the more. And we need to remember that. So we kind of, our face, we're downtrodden. We're kicking the dirt and the sand around with our feet. But man, we have to remember that we're more than conquerors. What a great reminder. Thanks so much for that.
The darkest days can be the brightest way to shine his light. Yep.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So important. Well, let's get an update on the markets, what they're doing, because I think the last time we talked, the market that day was like, wow, hey, it's up 300 points, and then today it's like down 220.
So the Dow is flat year-to-date. Finally, it's not in the negative, not in the red anymore. S&P is up 8.1%. NASDAQ is up 29.4%.
Wow.
Gold still outperforming the NASDAQ, just barely, 29.5%. And silver's leading the charge, 54.7%. I said gold and silver lead the charge this year, and it's doing that, and I still hold that belief system.
And then on the NASDAQ, you said this last week, that we all have to remember on the NASDAQ, it's like a menu where you've got 50 items that are all like $1.20. And then you have four different choice pieces of meat that are like, you know, $180 a piece, because you got Amazon, you have these big, massive Apple, you have these big, massive players. So just remind everybody about how kind of skewed the NASDAQ is.
Yeah, that's kind of like what's going on right now, too. So there's 500 stocks in the S&P 500, and a lot of the same stocks that are in NASDAQ, there's a mirror image in the S&P 500. Five stocks are performing, the top five, that call them the FANG stocks: Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, FANG. You know, put Microsoft in there, put a few others, but those are all the big stocks. So it's a misleading index, because 495 of them are flat, and some are down 5%. The NASDAQ is not much different. You have Apple leading the charge, and Apple today, by the way, did a 4-to-1 split. Why? And so did Tesla, a 5-to-1 split. Why? Because the shares got too expensive for the common investor, and so now they're thinking, if we just split this stock, doesn't add more value to the stock, it just means you buy at a cheaper rate, but you get less shares. That's why they call it a 4-to-1 split. So you get more shares, actually, but they're a quarter of the value, basically. It doesn't change the value of the company. It just makes the stock mentally more affordable.
Yeah, so it's a 4-to-1. If it was $1,000 on Friday, it's now $250 today. And you go, oh, okay, I can afford that now. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch that. Obviously, they're expecting it to continue to climb, and that's a good move for them. Any major market news headlines that we should be aware of right now, David?
Well, we're talking about the NASDAQ and the S&P. Let's talk about the Dow. So the Dow did a historic thing. The Dow's index is getting shaken up the biggest in years. Salesforce is replacing ExxonMobil. Amgen is replacing Pfizer. And Honeywell is replacing Raytheon Technologies. This is a massive shift that reflects economic and technology changes and dominance. That's what they're saying in the news release. Here's the reality. All those stocks that are being taken out of the Dow, the one of the three stocks is flat for 5 years, and the other two are down 40% plus, and they're being replaced by three stocks that are up 50% or greater the last 5 years. So it's a financial move. It's not a indicative of the environment. There's no stocks in the original original Dow component anymore. That was the original Dow 30. Why? Because they take out the losers, they put in winners, and I'm not against Wall Street. You just have to understand how this index is constantly changing to make the index look good. That's all it is. We do this. If we could do the same thing in precious metals, I could look the index in precious metals be phenomenal, because I got reports that says these numbers are just, you know, there's lots of different markets and metals. And I'm not against Wall Street. Just you have to understand what's really going on behind the scenes. That's why we talk about this.
Yeah, and our mutual friend TJ just was on Facebook Live saying, yeah, they're kind of less smokestacks. So, because we're getting away from that kind of industrial base, and we're more technology and service based, and so they have to change the Dow in order to reflect that. A good way of looking at it. TJ's always got the funny little liners in there. It's always some good
like
smokestacks. Yeah, it makes sense. So, in terms of all that translating into economic news, and again, I always mention this, I'm always amazed at kind of how the stock market does one thing with the economic realities of not just the federal government, but corporate debt structure and stuff tends to be a different picture. So anything translation there that we need to understand, then we'll talk a little bit about gold and silver since they're still doing rock and roll.
Massive layoffs coming in Coke, American Airlines, MGM, big companies. 9,000 workers from American Airlines, United Airlines, 3,000 workers. Salesforce, on March 25th, they got this big amount of money from the government. 90 days, you have to keep people employed for 90 days. 91 days later, they announced there's a massive layoff. So I said there's going to be layoffs coming. Bed and Bath Beyond cutting 2,800 jobs. MGM, 18,000. 84% of CFOs, chief financial officers, say the stocks are overvalued. Only 2% saying the market should be bought at this level. Those are the report says those are for the CFOs from these big companies that are buying back their stock. Buffett's at it again. He bought $6 billion in Japan's largest trading firms, about 5% stake. He will go up to the max of 9.9%, 10% is the lid. A lot of things are coming out. Buffett is, you know, big buyer of gold, and which
is news, by the way. David just kind of slipped that in there, but Buffett's whole career, he hasn't been a big buyer of gold, but now he was. He made a huge move recently. So, yeah, and then when you watch these billionaires and hedge fund managers making big moves, it's not because they're stupid. So you got to pay attention to that stuff and see what's happening. What about gold and silver, the markets there?
So, yeah, Buffett opened the door for gold and silver. $16 billion Ohio Police and Fire Pension Fund approves 5% now allocation for gold. The first round, they're saying they might even go up to 25%. So Buffett opened the door for gold. They're saying if this starts this new trend, this could see trillions of dollars going into the gold market from Wall Street now. Buffett is now betting there's going to be inflation, and he's saying, I would rather own gold than the company stock. Why? Because the Fed came out last week and said we're revising our policy of now the inflation running, which means that's really good for gold. So a hedge fund manager buying gold, Buffett's buying gold, billionaires are buying gold, pensions are buying gold. Now is the time you should be buying gold and silver.
Yeah, get some education so that you can make an informed decision. That's totally up to you, but you need education. What's the best way for people to get that, David?
Old-fashioned, 844-879-8882, 844-879-8882, or landmarkgold.com.
All right, buddy, thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate your expertise and helping us understand these things. It's great to hear from you. We'll talk to you not next Monday because it's Labor Day, but next Tuesday we'll do a full Money Monday.
I'm looking forward to it, my brother.
Awesome. Have a great week. God bless you, pal. Thank you.
You too.
All right, we'll talk to you again real soon. All right, there you go. Another crazy day. Be in prayer. There's a lot to pray about. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.